You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan and Vic back with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Single game tickets go on sale tomorrow for the Cleveland Browns, August the 12th at 10 a.m. on clevelandbrowns.com. Tickets are limited, so don't forget, tomorrow at 10 a.m., go to clevelandbrowns.com and get your Browns single game tickets this year. Brian Hoyer, I like it, showing a little bit of fight in that press conference, saying it's my team until I am told otherwise, and that certainly is the way he should be. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think his attitude and approach are what, first of all, what I've come to expect from him. I think his attitude has been pretty good about this whole thing and never showing a sign of any resignation. Even though, again, what if you're Brian Hoyer and you hear most of the country talking about only one quarterback of the Browns, how does that make you feel? And I think the way you stay sane is to do what he's doing, which is say that, look, I can control what I do. This is my job until somebody tells me otherwise. Show confidence, play with poise, don't press too hard. At times I do think he does that, and I think that's when some of the bad things happen. But he's obviously not doing it so much that you think his game has gone sideways, because it hasn't.
No,
it hasn't.
Not
he's,
at all.
And that's the best thing he's done for himself, is stay consistent, stay within what he's all about as a quarterback. But it has to be, you know, you think about it, there's this tidal wave of conversation about another quarterback on this team, and every, you know, in every possible way, the conversation is he's got to be out there. He should be out there. People are passionate and unfortunately are kind of treating Brian Hoyer like the pawn in the Johnny Manziel conversation. And I'm troubled by that, but I get it. I get how this works in the media.
You do. And it's also being, you know, not furthered, but the lack of a clarification on, yes, Brian Hoyer is the starter. We don't know who's starting the next preseason game, that kind of stuff. It becomes challenging for it to go away. And yes, Johnny Manziel is the first-round pick. Johnny Manziel is the guy known as Johnny Football. He does things that are exciting and that clearly differentiate himself from what Brian Hoyer does. So the conversation is going to persist, and all he can do is continue to be the solid professional that he is, which is why he's in the situation he is atop the depth chart.
Don't you think, Nathan, that his body language and all this poise and such that we would see would take a dramatic turn if he sensed, like right now, say let's use today because both quarterbacks were made available to the media today, if he sensed this was going in another direction? I think he's confident because the indication he has taking first-team reps today, starting the opener on Saturday, and the head coach making it pretty clear to the media, nothing's changed on the depth chart. That is as of today, and that game isn't until a week from today, the second preseason game. But I think Brian Hoyer's demeanor and everything is now dictated by that. It would change if everything suddenly did change from the standpoint of him hearing or feeling from the coaching staff, hey, we're going to be going with the other guy. I just sense that because I've seen it. I've seen it happen before with this team.
How could it not?
Colt McCoy,
I think he's very professional, though, and he's a guy who's been in this situation, you know, a lot. But I think it would be hard not to. This is what he's wanted to do since he was a little kid.
Exactly.
This is how close he is to fulfilling his lifelong dream, being the opening day starter for the Cleveland Browns this year. So I think obviously it would be very challenging for him if it goes that way. I honestly think, and even some of our, you know, my guy Bob out there, Bob Edwards, who's as big a Hoyer supporter as there is out there, also believes Johnny should start against Washington. And so that you can see. And I think if you see Johnny Manziel, and again, ultimately, to me, a lot of this competition is about what Johnny does, not as much about what Hoyer does. Because I think I know what Brian Hoyer does. I think we've seen it. I think he's proven it in practice. I think you know he's a guy who absolutely can win you games. He's a guy who is safe. He is reliable. And you also know, as I've said before, I believe that he could take this team to the playoffs. But what Johnny Manziel can do, obviously the potential is it for it to be much more than that, with some variations on the downside as well, some risks associated with that. But for it to be a competition, you've got to see him get some time with the ones. And now I think that will be very interesting to see that dynamic. How does Johnny Manziel do with the ones? How does Brian Hoyer do with the twos? And then there's another factor that was actually brought up by somebody on Twitter, which I thought was a very interesting point. Given how bad we saw that second team offensive line perform, given the duress we saw Johnny Manziel under, that if it really is in Mike Pettine's mind that, yes, okay, fine, it's a competition, but ultimately there's no need to rush Johnny Manziel, do you expose Brian Hoyer coming off of a surgically repaired knee as a guy who isn't that mobile to time behind that second offensive line?
Right. That could prove to be a mistake beyond a mistake, because not only could it cost you the guy that you felt was more ready to start, but certainly even if the decision ultimately was going to be go with Manziel, you don't want to be forced into that because of an injury that's caused because you made a decision to put the least mobile of your quarterbacks, or one of the least mobile of your quarterbacks, behind a line that is leaky, that is going to create those scenarios where he's going to have to move around and take some hits. I agree. And that also could be the underlying reason why you stick to the plan of having Hoyer make another start in this Washington game, give Manziel some time behind the ones. Now, originally, this is what threw me off a little bit Saturday night. Originally, I was of the understanding that Manziel was going to work behind the first unit O-line with the exception of Joe Thomas. I had originally heard that, and he did not, of course. But I had heard that initially, and I thought that, in fact, I'm positive that was a plan. It got changed somewhere along the line. Maybe they just didn't want to risk the four other guys in that group, including Alex Mack and Joe Bitonio, just don't want to, Mitchell Schwartz don't want to put them in harm's way any longer than they had to against a very physical Detroit defensive front. By the way, Detroit kept its first unit defense on pretty long too, so they were extended. It was extended action on both lines. I will say this much. Yes, we're going to probably conclude, if we see Hoyer start against the Redskins, that he's the guy and that there really is no competition. We're going to conclude that, but I'm not sure 100% if I'm putting that in stone based upon what Johnny Manziel shows, if indeed he's again working with the backups in that game. I think there's still more to see. As you've put it, this is still all about watching what Johnny does more than it is about watching Hoyer. So can't Johnny take more steps? Because we're measuring the steps he took Saturday night. We're able to do that. We can't throw out – we're not, and I know you're not, throwing out everything that happened out there because he was working with second-unit guys against second-unit players.
Right.
Because part of what you want to see him do is outrun those second-unit defenders when he gets in trouble or complete passes against them, and he did a lot of that. Does he do that against the first team? And we don't know. That's going
to
be the great what-if
because
we need to see it. But there's a part of me that still says – There's measurable progress regardless of who he's going against. There's measurable progress, and it's great experience for him. He's still not lacking of experience of moving a team, working in an NFL game, working in the environment where there is more speed, athleticism, the lights are on. It's a whole different vibe and he talked about it too, that the practice tempo that he had gotten used to through the offseason and training camp, far different when it's live, when someone can tackle him, can hit him, and deal with that. And, I think the other thing, too, is still along the lines of timing with receivers. Like, I'm not even sure if I can make this comparison, but was it harder for him to deal with a group of receivers that technically – because I say technically because the first group didn't exactly overwhelm, but technically were less accomplished than the first unit that Hoyer had.
He played with a group of wide receivers that had not caught a pass in an NFL game or preseason game prior to that game.
So is that – how do we factor that into the – maybe it says more about Johnny that he was able to have some success with those guys.
Well, it says something, but you need to see Johnny Manziel behind the good offensive line. You need to see Johnny Manziel with the Josh Gordon, Miles Austin, Andrew Hawkins, Jordan Cameron group. Now, Brian Hoyer didn't have Jordan Cameron in that game.
Right.
But you need to see that unit against a number one defense. What does Johnny Manziel do against a guy like D'Angelo Hall, who has seen it all out there at cornerback? What does he do when Brian Arakpo is coming after him out from the edge, when you're playing against some elite-level defenders as well? That's what you need to see. If you want it to be a competition, you want to truly evaluate Johnny Manziel, you need to see him with the one offense and against a one defense in the National Football League. We've only seen him on two practice days thus far against a one defense of the Cleveland Browns. That's it. So you need to see that more, and you need to see it in a game, because these games, the evaluative nature of these games and the value is so much greater than it is in a practice out here.
Yeah, of course. And the last thing I want to say on this particular subject for now, because we're going to say a lot more about it, of course, every day. But the last thing I want to say about it right now is that, with regard to the impact that he has, it's not minimized because he didn't work with starters. If anything, the conversation I heard and you heard from any number of national people who were in that game, just start the guy. I mean, just start him. They had Pete Prisco for one, and I know Pete is maybe not the best, most rational judge of things because he has a lot of knee-jerk reaction, but he's in that. I've known him a long time. You have too. We see him in the press box. Just start Mansell now. Just get this over with. Start him now. So there was nothing in his evaluation of Johnny with backups and Hoyer with starters that altered his opinion. All right, coming up, we're going to hear from the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. From the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, we will hear from him. And, of course, he does the play-by-play for KYC's coverage along with Solomon Wilcots through the preseason, KYC's TV coverage of the game, although it won't be the case Monday night because you'll see the ESPN crew doing that game, Mike Tirico, John Gruden, on Monday night's game on ESPN. We'll also have Gerard Cherry at 2:30. The three topics with the three-time Super Bowl champ. Want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Some time to get aboard and tweet us at Browns_daily and at Vic Carucci and at Nathan Zagura. It is CBD. This is a Football Monday, and you are listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.